Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Well, I have a really fun guest here on the Wednesday podcast this week. I have a feeling this is going to be a request to have me repeat this, but I'm joined by Betsy on the podcast today. Hi, Betsy. How are you doing?
Hi, Lisa.
So Betsy and I were on Instagram DMing. That's what we were doing, right? Like you were DMing me. Yeah. If you want to know how to get a hold of Lisa. People, you should be following me on Instagram. I show you my life. I show you my closet. So my good friend follows me. And she's like, Lisa, only you would be showing people your underwear piles on social media. So yeah, on Sunday, like I fold my underwear and I show you my laundry piles. Like if you're wondering how to see more of Lisa, it's on Instagram. Anywho, Betsy says, I have this idea for a podcast episode. I said, all right, send it to me by email. So I'm going to read you Betsy's email, and then we are going to do a virtual organizing session. So Betsy emailed me, and she said, as I mentioned, I'm a proud member of the 100-Day Home Organization Program, as well as the Kids Program. I was so optimistic in September, and I was planning to really follow the program, but life continues to get in the way. I have an 8-year-old who is schooling from home in a pod for 4 kids with a hired facilitator, but 3 days a week, they are in my house. I have a 3-year-old whose preschool is open, but only 3 days a week. Guess which days a week those are. Until January, fingers crossed, there's not one day I'm home alone in the house. My husband and I both have ADHD. Our 8-year-old does too. I work part-time as a violinist and a violin teacher, and there's been a sharp learning curve as I navigate both online and in-person teaching. I use the planner and I love it. I have found a few pockets of time in my week to do organization decluttering tasks. So far, they get eaten away by unforeseen circumstances. Last year, I figured out I work best with one full 8-hour day with no one in my house and no work responsibilities when I could fully focus on what needed to get done in all areas of my life. That's just not possible right now. Even this morning, Saturday, my 3-year-old is watching cartoons, but every 15 minutes needs something from me. He will probably entertain himself with toys if they were set up in a beautifully organized, child-centered way, but I can't do that when he's around. Anyway, back to my idea. Basically, a podcast with a guest who's in the 100-day program but needs to rethink how they participate in this season. And I think it's a great idea, Betsy. So I'm super excited that we get to dive into a couple of different things in this email. Really, this is going to be how I used to do virtual organizing. You guys, I don't do virtual organizing right now. I'm like, oh, should I even record this? Because I don't offer virtual organizing services. You can find virtual organizing services from other professional organizers. I'm sure they do it the same way I do. I'm sure they're just as good as it as I am. But I thought that we would dive into this now. Betsy and I have been emailing back and forth a little bit. I've gotten a little bit more information so that I knew kind of how to guide this conversation, but she really has no idea what I'm going to say, do you?
Nope.
Nope. No clue whatsoever. So I think an overarching thing, and I'm still trying to process through how to teach this. I've observed it, but how do I teach how we use our homes now? Like in the summer, I talked about how you need to start thinking about your spaces in your house differently and setting up schoolrooms, setting up workrooms. Like that's not going to change for a time. And that is a different way to use our house. But I truly feel that when the pandemic is over, we won't go back to using our house the way we did in 2019. So I'm processing through that and I'll talk to you about that in 2020. But right now, as we're living through it, I want to talk about a couple of things inside of your home, Betsy, and thinking about all the people who are in your home. So share with us the people who live with you, like what their responsibilities are, what their passions are, personalities.
Yeah. So I guess I'll start with my husband. He is actually between jobs and has been for the past 2 years, which is also just like adding, you know, adding fuel to the fire or whatever. Yeah. But I mean, he's also home, which is helpful. Like, for instance, this podcast, I had a surprise doctor's appointment for my daughter that came up that I felt I couldn't not take, and he can take her.
Right.
So I don't have to miss the podcast. And so, yeah, he is, you know, home all the time, you know, looking for work, has a few, you know, nibbles here and there, but it's a tough time. You know, thankfully we've got resources, so we're not in dire straits, but it would be really great if he got a job again and he would feel better having a set schedule and knowing what was expected of him. And then my kids, I mentioned already, so I have two kids, ages 3 and 8, and the 3-year-old is in preschool Monday through Wednesday, and then home with us on Thursdays and Fridays. And you know, he is an energetic boy and you know, has a ton of toys and you know, it's just he's doing Montessori school, which is actually awesome because like
Yes.
he's starting to like want to put his own clothes. Well, I don't know if he wants to, but he can put his own clothes on and things like that. So we're like navigating that, and you know, he's not potty trained yet. So it's just like that's a phase of life that we're in with him. And then our daughter is 8, and she actually is, you know, she's going to be seeing a specialist because she's having some special learning issues. So we're navigating that, figuring out the best things for her. And I don't yet own a Mama Warrior binder, but I know it's coming. I mean, I have a binder right now. And just even that idea that I got from listening to your podcast and the fact that I could just put everything in a binder has already been life-changing for us.
Good.
Yeah, and I actually gave my mom, so my parents don't live with us, but they're a part of our lives. They're a part of our bubble right now. They live nearby and they, you know, help from time to time. My mom helps, and I actually gave them the free medical binder.
Oh, good.
And I'm excited. I was like, it's for me, mom. It's
Yeah,
not for
fill
you.
this out,
For
please.
me. So that when I have to take, because I'm in the sandwich generation. They're older, you know, they're in their mid-70s. So, yeah.
And does your spouse's parents live close also?
His dad does, so he's
Okay.
sandwiched in his dad. His parents, his stepmom lives close. But you know, in the pandemic, we haven't seen her at all. I guess he hasn't seen his dad either. So
Okay.
my parents are okay with a certain amount of risk, and they've always been a little bit more like coming over and helping out. And his parents, like, we see them on holidays kind of thing. So.
Okay. So I could tell by your email. Here's one thing that is true for me. You tell me if it's true for you and people who are listening, you tell me if it's true for you. I like to have the entire house to myself. Like, I don't even want you in the house at all. Like, it doesn't matter if you're in a different location, not talking to me. I want you out of the premises. When Greg went to Florida and I didn't in July and I stayed home with the dogs, hello, major vacation for me. Like, to be in my house by myself is the number one thing that I want. And Betsy is profusely nodding on an
Yes.
audible podcast.
Well, I just don't want to interrupt you on Zoom. I hate that. But yes, you know, it's so funny because when I was much younger in my early 20s and I didn't have a partner yet and I lived by myself in college once and I was like, oh, I need people around. Like, I can't deal with being by myself. And now I'm like, oh my gosh, I really need, of course, I don't want to live alone forever. I'm not a hermit, but I would like just a set amount of time all by myself. And it's
Yes.
just not happening. It's just like my husband being home for, I mean, before the pandemic, it was a problem. You know, husband's at home, kids are, even if they're at school, that's like half a day. And, you know, but now I would crave any time because I have to like make it. I have to carve it out and say, please leave.
Please leave.
There's nowhere to
Yeah, and
go. Like, there's nowhere for them to
right.
go.
We're recording this end of October. At this time, the COVID numbers are worse than ever. I'm sure by the time this comes out, it's not like that's magically going to have disappeared. And so we're going into winter. And even if you are able to take walks or sit outside or, you know, do some things outside for the majority of the United States, that's not going to be a possibility. Like if you live in Florida and Texas, maybe, but not in Ohio and Indiana and Wisconsin and places where it's already snowing in October.
Yeah, and we're in Boston, so yeah.
So we're not going to be able to do some of the things that made the pandemic a little easier in the summer are going to make it a little bit harder in the winter. So I don't think this is a unique to Betsy situation. So I'm going to go in order of priority. So we have paid work, then we're going to talk school work, then we're going to talk like household responsibilities, and then we're going to talk hobbies for everyone. So as far as paid work, you mentioned that you are a violinist and you are giving lessons. How often are you doing it? How are you doing that?
So I have scheduled lessons 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday in the afternoons. It varies what time it starts and ends, but and I'm actually covering somebody's paternity leave, which will end after this week. So I got a little extra and then that will die down, but it's still 4 days a week. That will remain. And then that's mainly online, especially like it was, I had like 2 days that was supposed to be my in-person studio time in our nonprofit. But we're shut down right now because Boston Public Schools are shut down. So mm-hmm. we're just following them.
So is your studio, do you rent your studio?
So the nonprofit Music Connects, that I work for and founded, they rent this space. They've rented it since I had my first daughter. My first child, because I was like, this has to get out of my house. Like we have,
yeah.
You know, I know that feeling.
Yes, I know it.
So we've had it since, you know, 2012. And it's definitely, in the past, has been a great place for me to, like, get work done. Not housework done, obviously.
Right, right.
But work, it's a quiet space to think I can practice. So you'll talk about unpaid work. Like, yes. I'm supposed to be practicing violin a certain amount of hours a day. That would be amazing. So I teach mainly Zoom right now. So I'm like at my desk. I'll like go. I have a studio in my house, like a little room that is mine, that is full of everything. It's kind of a hot mm-hmm. mess room / office.
So you own the violin studio?
Oh,
you
sorry.
Own the business?
So Music Connects rents a space that I can go to. In my house, I have a room that is dedicated.
Are you Music Connects or is that a franchise?
So I founded Music Connects as a nonprofit.
Okay.
I used to be the director, executive director by default, mm-hmm. because there was no one to do it. I stepped down from that role, but I still work for them. So it's like I'm a staff member, but I'm not in charge.
So, but you're renting space right now that you cannot
use.
They
are renting space of which I can use, but not now because I can't. I mean, I can go there, but I can't have kids mm-hmm. come.
Great. Is anybody using that space right now?
Only rehearsals. It's barely used.
So
if I follow COVID procedures, I can go.
So any way you can become the owner again?
I don't know what you're getting at because I don't know if it's going to help me get my laundry done, but yes.
Okay. Oh, you wait till you see where I'm going with this.
I'm excited.
So is there a possibility that you could become the owner again?
Not the owner. I could just say I would like
in charge
to find
of the space.
Time to be there. Yeah, it's a nonprofit, so, and it's $250,000 enterprise that I can't.
And how big is the space? How's it laid out?
It's three separate studio rooms. Like imagine like a, you know, just small, three separate small spaces plus an entryway plus an office space.
Great. This is perfect. I'm so excited. Okay. So, this is part of why I don't record these podcasts. I am not a lawyer. I'm not a government agency. I'm just a woman at home with a microphone, people. So, stay-at-home order in the state of Ohio, you know, all non-essential businesses had to close. We qualify as an essential business under multiple categories. Organized 365 does, but I sent everyone home just like everybody else did. And I went in just to do shipping. You know, I would go in to do shipping. And then as the stay-at-home order went on and people had self-quarantined, then we expanded our bubble and maintain all proper protocols. We're wearing the masks. Everybody's taking their temperature. Somebody said, your people are taking their temperature. I said, it became a law in the state of Ohio, like week one of shutdown. They're like, oh, we stopped doing that. I was like, well, we still do it. Like if anything is passed in the state of Ohio for COVID, we are still doing it. We are doing all of the COVID. So remember that first. Now, I'm a business owner. I lease that space. I have 8,000 square feet now. I had 1,500 when COVID started. We have COVID level 1, 2, and 3 protocols within Organized 365, depending on risk of exposure. But at any time, I, as the business owner, can go into that warehouse, mm-hmm. even if we're in a shutdown situation, because I'm the business owner. What am I going to do? Sue myself? I'm the business owner. So if you have a space that they are not using and is totally empty, then you can move your pod there. Yes. Oh, if you guys could see her face. Oh, if you could see her face. It is like, yes, she's singing. She's singing. Do you sing? Because you're singing. Yes. You have three different little studios. You have three families that are in this pod. Each family's child could be in a different studio and your teacher can be sitting in the waiting room talking to the, now they're even more separated than they are in your house for the pod. Now, I was going to go down a whole nother conversation about the pod, about who's in the pod and why your one child out of four is at your house 3 days a week instead of five. I know all the backstory now about the pod and it is very well set up. You're blessing a lot of families by how you have set up your pod and I commend you for that. We can't share any of that. But you guys, this is what I mean when I say out of the box thinking. Can you imagine, Betsy, if we send the pod there? Now you got 3 days at home with your three-year-old not there, not just one. So okay. Now you got to figure out the logistics behind yeah. that. Can you rent the space back from the organization?
I have no idea. I mean, I don't think we can afford that because we're paying for this pod coordinator as well. But I am definitely going to bring it up with my ED. I think the biggest thing will be the insurance policy for the space. So if I maybe had a rider on the insurance, because it's kids in the space, you know, like mm-hmm, if mm-hmm. it's me going, I can go do whatever work I want to do. Mm-hmm. But if it's
so then the other option would be yeah. to see if any of the people who are working from home in the pod could work in the studio and then use their house for the pod.
Yeah, I know that would only, I think that there's some things that aren't as easy as that preclude that happening.
But for many of you listening, light bulbs just went on and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm paying rent somewhere. And if you're trying to work from home, so a couple of weeks ago, we got put in a lockdown situation because our daughter was exposed to someone who is positive. So being the over-exaggerators our family is, all of us locked down at home. I'm like, Greg, I don't know why you and I aren't going to work. Like, she doesn't have it. We all got tested. She didn't have it. I was like, we're all locking down in case she ends up positive. So anyways, we did. We all locked down. And we about killed each other. And so I was thinking, we're only locked down 3 days. And I was thinking on the Friday, I was like, I'm pretty sure I could rent a hotel room and I could just self-quarantine a hotel room. And then on Saturday morning, Greg says, if this happens again, I'm renting a hotel room. So we both have been thinking the same thing. And so I'm just saying, I don't know if the whole hotel room thing will work. But for many of you listening, think about all, I want you to think about all of the spaces you have available to you. And I want you to think about all of the time that you have. So we started with paid work. You already have a studio at home. Could you go in and do your studio work at that studio and Zoom from there versus doing it in your house?
Yeah. So I've already had ideas now because I'm not sure I can have the kids, which
there,
is
there,
awesome,
but you
exactly
could.
What it is. It's like, yeah, we're riffing here. Mm-hmm. So I know that my ED is going to say no because she doesn't want any mm-hmm. liability
right.
for kids in the space. And that's why we can't actually have lessons mm-hmm. in the space. Right. However, I could totally Zoom from there.
Yep.
I have this room, although the room is becoming my son's bedroom, supposedly. And we're going to switch it to this tinier room.
Okay, you're talking about your room at your house. But you could rent out one of those studio rooms.
I don't know if that would still cover Nancy's. That's one thought, but I'm thinking more along the lines of like having the pod be in my house in another space that is more enclosed and like one that I won't see. It's like they're in my dining room. I have to like go past them at all mm-hmm. moments of the day.
Right.
And like the kind of housework I would like to do is either in that part of the house or in the studio that I'm in right now. So like I either have to change my mindset of like what I can actually accomplish and where.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
And then, and like, instead of having the whole house to myself, I have the whole room to myself, you know, like,
yes.
like that.
Yes.
Or, yeah. So like just thinking about it completely differently, but yeah, I'll think about renting the studio space and seeing if that changes the insurance policy. I'd have to get my own insurance. It's like a whole, and we're dealing mm-hmm. with one of the pod parents is a state senator. So whatever they do with their child has to be completely above board or else mm-hmm. you know, they're mm-hmm. completely scrutinized. So
yes, right.
So
like I said, just a woman with a mic is all I am. Luckily, I am not, nor will I be running for any politics. People are like, oh, please run for politics. I'm like, you guys know how bad I am with details. I mean, like I wouldn't even get through I'd be a great debater. I'm very good at listening. I can actually debate both sides of almost any issue that you give me because I have debate in my background. Yeah, remembering referencing things, details, no. They'd be like, but at least you said something else yesterday. I'd be like, yeah, I changed my mind. I got better information. They'd be like, you can't change your mind. I'd be like, oh, guess I'm out of politics. So that's not going to work. Okay, so thinking about all of your spaces that you have available to you, I don't think this is a possibility for you, but I'd like to throw it out there in case it's a possibility for other people. You and your parents have been self-quarantining together, so you are in the same pod. What is their home space situation like?
They are in a condo.
Okay.
My father's not only physical health but mental health is an issue.
Okay.
So him doing like my mom is totally happy to be creative and think of awesome solutions, but my father is kind of he's where he is and needs his. He needs whatever
so
he's doing.
How is he with your son?
He's not great.
Okay. So your mom comes to your house.
My mom comes to my house. Okay. Yeah. In fact, my son has not been invited to their house.
Okay. So another important thing.
That's now, not going to work.
In some situations, I don't know. I feel like I'm running a hotel here because now Joey's home. We gave him two bedrooms. Abby's got the whole basement. I have the condo. I'm doing puzzles and watching TV in there. Greg's in the kitchen. Like we've all kind of found our different areas because we have a two-story house with a full basement. Can you tell us the layout of your house? What kind of square footage you're looking at?
Yeah. So we're looking at a fairly small New England house with a, you know, the basement is a wet basement or a dirty, I don't know how you say it, but it's, you know, we can store a few things down there. My husband's work wood shop is down there. That's exciting for him. And then like our first floor has, so I think the total square footage is like 1200.
And okay. That's, is it like a Cape Cod type house?
It's not, it's like a simple farmhouse. So it could be like Victorian 1900s, but it doesn't have any frou-frous. It doesn't have any.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
So, you know, and there's no mud room. There's no, always, right. Fun. There's not even a trunk room. That's a cool extra space that some people have. But we, 1,200 square feet, including an addition that we added. So we redid our attic space to be a primary bedroom and bathroom, and which is an awesome space. I love it up there. My husband's little office nook is there. I could maybe make that my office nook instead. That's another thought. You know, I could displace him somewhere. He could go to the studio and Music Connects. And then the layout of the downstairs is just really tricky. Like there's only one way around. It's like a, you know, a horseshoe kind of thing. You can't go in a circle. And the kitchen is tiny and like we've already got things spilling out into the dining room and things like that. There's no playroom. So all of the toys and the kids' bedrooms are pretty small. So all of the like, there's a big toy mess in the in our living room, just right as you walk in the house. There's a piano there, which we love, takes up space. Our TV is like on top of the piano. Like we're, you know, it's not like we have an entertainment center. And then the dining room, you know, it has a big, nice, big, you know, smallish, big table where the pod can fit and where we can all eat dinner. We don't have an eat-in kitchen or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, like the kitchen stuff is kind of spilling into there. And we don't have a pantry, things like that.
So your kids each have a bedroom.
They each have a bedroom. My son's is this tiny office type bedroom right now because that was our baby room for a long time. He's getting older. He doesn't fit in the crib anymore. We have to like upgrade him. And my thought was that we would switch. Like I feel guilty having this really nice big room. That's my like, I call it my studio. So I don't want to confuse people. This is my home studio, home office. The home office is a real bedroom with a closet. That I think I'm going to have to swap with his.
So because you made the attic a primary bedroom suite, you have three other bedrooms, one of which is used as your.
Yeah, two.
The half is being used as a bedroom.
The half is being used as a bedroom.
Okay. Is it big enough to be your husband's office, the baby's room?
Yeah, but then I need an office.
Right. Well, if you move up to the primary suite.
Oh, so the primary suite office is a desk in a hallway.
Oh.
With some cabinets. It would be fine for me to Zoom from there for my teaching if I needed to. But I can Zoom down at Music Connects as well. That's a nice place for me to Zoom.
You need
from.
More storage room?
Yeah, so we have a bunch of craft supplies, and I have a whole, I have six, so I have a Calyx, and six of the squares are my music. 11 of the squares are our, like, craft supplies, which we actually use. I mean, my daughter will use. I have a sewing machine. I have, you know, so, like, I'm not ready to give up that part of my life.
Is there room at all in the primary suite for you to have any of that Calyx stuff? Or any of that storage crafty stuff that's yours?
No. It's a pretty small space. I mean, we've got built-in shelving, so I could, but it's all like bookshelf size. I could maybe move the shelves, but music really needs that deep Calyx because it's like bigger than 8.5 by 11, you know, kind of thing.
Okay, the three kid/studio bedrooms, what are the sizes of them? Do you know?
Yeah, I think they're 10 by 10. Oh, no, sorry. All two three? Of them are 10 by 10. And Micah's is probably 8 by 8 or so. It's
okay,
it's,
so not that much smaller, but smaller.
Yeah.
What do you have stored in your daughter's room?
She has got a loft bed, another Calyx, a bookshelf, her cello, a dresser that's overflowing, and a small closet without the door.
And the craft, the craft stuff that you have in this spare bedroom / office, how much of it is hers? How much of it is yours?
I would say it's probably 80% hers. Like the idea of as hers and Micah's, like paint, paper. I like to collect those egg cartons for them to put the paint in. Things like I have huge bottles of tempera, but those are in the basement. I recant them into smaller things. Things like that.
Do you have? I know it's a wet basement. Are you using the IKEA? Or I mean the Home Depot plastic shelving in the bin system yet?
Plastic, but we already had those metal shelving units that my husband liked for a long time. There's definitely more room for storage in the basement.
Okay.
It's a tricky place to store stuff, you know, as far as its temperature. My husband also, I haven't mentioned this yet, he has, I would say, 20% or maybe 5, 6 Calyx squares full of like unusable memorabilia from his family.
And is that able to be put in a plastic bin with a lid on it in the basement or is it too damp?
We're going to, like, the plan is that we, in order to change, even to change this room, we have to put all of his stuff. We have a storage unit. We just pay for a storage unit.
And okay, great.
We already have
Move it out.
We're going to take it there. We're going to get out of here.
Okay. And in your daughter's room, are you okay? I mean, she's 8. So are you okay with her having art supplies in her room, her bedroom? Not yet.
I mean, it's probably the same as them being in here because she just helps herself and makes a huge mess.
But if your son's in there, then they can't be in there.
Right. I mean, he, I mean, I think if I had like I could have like a bin on her Calyx that says like ask first, it's exactly what we have in this craft room right now. Cause there was just like too many things that I was like, you almost ruined my violin. Like many episodes of that. So, because you know, this room is not organized, unfortunately. So
how tall is your son, your 3-year-old, normal 3-year-old size?
He's really tall. Tall for
really tall. Darn it.
He reached up. But he can't climb. He's not going to climb the Calyx to get. The art supplies, I don't think he would know. It's like a, it's just going to be like a container store bin that's clear.
Yeah. So I'm thinking of his crib. So is he longer than the crib mattress?
He's longer. He's like, he needs a twin bed. And we just got him one. Because, I mean, he also is having horrible sleeping problems. And he's coming into our bed.
Yeah.
And we need to be able to have sleeping solutions that are different than we have now. So we really need to get this bed for him.
Okay. So the twin bed, it's not terribly bigger than a crib.
It's what it is a Hemnes. It's a IKEA day bed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
Transform into a double if we want it to for a guest bed.
Okay, great.
Stay. So it's a day bed. It can count as a couch if we needed it to.
Yep. I'm wondering if in that little 8x8 room that is his, if you leave that as his and you take the crib out and you put that new bed in there, which I know will fit, then you put in just a small coax unit that is 8 cubes, because you said a lot of his toys are in the front room.
Yeah.
And you may not want to have toys in his bedroom because then he won't sleep, but clearly he's not sleeping anyway.
He has toys in his bedroom.
Okay, great. And just make that the toy room.
Ah.
Yeah, so I'm trying to figure out if you keep him in that room or you move him in this room that you're in the Zoom in right now. But either way, it's a sleeping and toy room. Which room is better for the amount of toys that he has? And then if you keep him in the smaller room, I would rotate the toys and keep the extra toys in this room that you're in now. Or bring a bin out to the living room when we're ready to play in the living room. Because the thing that I think we all need to start realizing is that we have work time, we have chore time, we have play time, and we have rest time. And that's kind of what I'm going to dive into 2020. Work time. So that's school or paid work. Chore time, which is, okay, we have to, it's been 5 days. We have to do the dishes in my case. In everybody else's case, they do it every day, but like we're out of underwear. We have to do like chores have to get done. So work time, chore time, play time, which is whatever your hobbies are. And I think that everybody needs to reinstitute for the winter of 2020 to 2021 rest time. And I remember my mom would say this to me. I think I had rest time till I was 5 because I talked a lot and she needed her ears to have a break. So we had rest time, and I had the rule with rest time was you had to sit on your bed. Like you could do whatever you wanted on your bed. You could sleep, you could read books, you could do puzzles, you could do whatever. It had to be on your bed and had to be for an hour. And that gave my mom a break. So rest time has to be on your bed. And so if his toys are in his room, then it's room time. Like this is your 1 hour room time. It's fine. All your toys are there. Well, but then you have a different space.
We have to do that anyway because he's in school 3 days where they actually nap and he naps. But then he comes home and does not.
Yes.
And now he's saying he wakes up at 3 a.m.
Yeah. And he's breaking that nap anyway.
I know. Like
he kind of is.
Yeah.
Side note, not a doctor, but do you do Epsom salt baths?
I should try it with them. I do it for myself.
I did a whole bag last night. Like I didn't sleep all the last two nights. So I put a whole bag in there and I sat there for the full 20 minutes. By the time I got into bed, my arms and legs felt like lead and I slept beautifully through the night. When my kids were little and they would have temper tantrums, I would literally start a bath, pour the Epsom salts, not a whole bag, a couple cups in there. And sometimes once I just took their socks off and put them in their clothes, but the Epsom salt starts to go through their meat and they just melted into the tub. And then all of a sudden they were laughing and they were playing and just totally calmed down. So I don't know. I mean, he's awfully young for melatonin, but Epsom salts, like just a cup of Epsom salts. Every night. Okay. I did too. Again, not a doctor. Anywho, just saying, well, if you're all ADHD, and he's probably not diagnosed yet, ADHD. Well,
he's adopted, but still could be a problem. Yeah.
ADHD is the people who are diagnosed with ADHD just don't make melatonin the same way others do. It's a hormone. And so like my son just does not make it. And if he does not take melatonin, he does not sleep. Flat out doesn't sleep. So yeah, he loves Epsom salts. They love melatonin.
Yes, yes. All good stuff. All good stuff. The Epsom salts, I'm going to definitely start.
Now, another thing we talked about offline that I'll just suggest for other people who are probably going, just flip the days. Like, so right now you have school at your house Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then your three-year-old is at preschool Thursday, Friday, which means you always have one of your two kids in the house.
Yeah, I mean, he's at preschool the same days as Mabel's in her pod. So yeah, I always have somebody at home.
Right.
The preschool is stuck. I could maybe flip the days. Yeah, I'll look into it.
But then again, if you flip the days, would it be good for the pod to have a three-year-old there?
That's why we chose it the way
even harder. Because
I don't want to be. I don't know. Even though this is not great, I feel like that would be even
worse. Working. And then
he wants to learn with them. He gets a fake computer out and it's so cute. But
so the only thing we haven't talked about is what is your husband doing during the day? Maybe we're not allowed to talk about this.
Lots of stuff. He does a lot of stuff. It's all very random. It would be really great if there was like set stuff that he's doing. I do not want to complain because he is, you know,
Yes. Yes.
he does whatever I ask him. But, and he actually, he does like, I want to tell everyone this. I decided that my laundry is like Monday. I'd get it all done on Monday. And I asked him to take over, and he's going to continue this even if he has a job, the sheets and the towels. Because I do
Yay.
the kids' laundry and my own laundry. He can do his laundry and the sheets and the towels. So we each have six loads or whatever, or three loads. We each have three loads. And so that's like, you know, he's constantly doing laundry, he says, and he cooks because I have to teach up until like 6 or 6:30 some nights. And so even though I plan the meals and do, I like to grocery shop, so I do the grocery shopping, but he will cook the meals, which is good. During the day, I mean, it's random stuff. Like right now, he like we actually got the bed from Worcester. We had to like we bought it on Craigslist, so we went and got it, you know, things like that.
So Greg has been furloughed every other Friday since COVID started. So all of 2020, every other Friday he's off. And just like you, Greg has worked the same job for 30 years. Like literally, he started the day after he graduated from college. He's known no other job. It's been bought and sold six times, but he's still working the same job. So he goes to work. That's what he does. He goes to work, he comes home, he cooks dinner for us, and then he watches like 5 hours of TV. That is Greg's thing. So when he had these furlough days, he saw them as vacation days. I'm like, I am still working. This is me working. And I've worked from home my entire life, and I pretend that I don't work during the day. So I try to do all of my work when kids are at school and my husband is at work. So if he's home, then all of a sudden I'm not working. Well, that was not possible this year because now I have employees, I have a warehouse, I want to make sure my business does not go under, you know, like I was working. And so having him have this furlough day that happened after lockdown. So at lockdown, obviously we were working at home together and we were both working more than ever because he also, what else are you going to do? So he just worked more, just like I did. But once he went back to work and then he lost his every other Friday, I felt like I needed to make it fun so he didn't get depressed. So we would start out the day by going out to breakfast, which is always what you should do. When you're losing income, you should always spend more by going out to eat every single time. But I thought, well, that's fun. He always wants to have a meal with me. So we would go out to breakfast. And then the first two times, I didn't work at all that day. Like I was just available in case he needed me. I don't know. I look back on this, I laugh at myself. But then I realized, okay, breakfast is fine. And then he goes and he does whatever he wants. So one day he played golf or he'll just watch a bunch of TV. And then finally, after this went on for like 3 or 4 months, I said, look, the furlough day is your day to get stuff done around the house because he would then schedule, like, I don't know, the chimney repair guy that during my workday because I work from home, which is what I've always done. And if you work from home, you know how hard it is when you're having a dishwasher installed and then you realize you need an electrician and then 4 hours of your day. Well, yes, you're working, but there are people in the house and then the dog is barking and it's chaotic. So finally I said, look, these are not vacation days. These are your working from home days. And so you want to have this electrician come, you want to have this, you know, wood delivered. It all has to happen on your furlough day. So now he's finally got it. He's like, all right, so the lawnmower blade is going to be sharpened on my furlough day. And also the wood's getting delivered and I'm having this guy come out. They're ending furlough days. So, which is good. 2021, he's going back to work full time. But I'm like, darn, I just got him trained. So if you're listening to this, it is our perspective, like your point of view, your perspective. Like I am 48, Greg is 53. Greg's dad is extremely young in mental mindset, but his parents got divorced when he was 14 and he moved up here to Cincinnati and his stepdad's 10 years older than his dad. And he's definitely the silent generation. Children are to be seen and not heard, do as I say, not as I, you know, like very heavy-handed in how he raised Greg in his high school and college years. And Greg went to work for him. And I mean, you went in and you did what you were told to do, and you showed up 10 minutes before 8 and you didn't leave until 5:01. And he's still annoyed when people leave 5 minutes early. He's still judging himself by the standard that his stepdad set 30 years ago. And so his job, based on how it was modeled to him through his stepdad and his father, is you provide. You go to work, you make the money, you come home. End of story. From there on out, like, you go to work. So work is going to work and getting paid. Work is not coming home and working. And in Greg's defense, I mean, oh my gosh, he does all the grocery shopping, all the cooking, all the cleaning. Like, he does share the load around here, but it still mentally bothers him because it's not what his parents did. It's not what was modeled to him. He doesn't think it's fair. He doesn't think it's fair that he has to do all of these things. And I think, you know, a lot of what we are coming up against as we are now reshifting things at home is it's not fair. I should be able to have this house alone. It's not fair. I should be able to go to my work. It's not fair. The kids should be able to go to school. And I'm just saying it's okay to say it's not fair. Throw a temper tantrum, lose your mind, and then make cookies and pull it back together again and put a Disney movie on, because we are where we are. Our mind cannot comprehend where we are. Mm-hmm. We've had so much change, so much more is coming, and we're not going back to where we were, and we have no idea where we're going to, that our brains are just very overwhelmed and really struggling with how do we survive this? Like, how do we thrive during this? Which, I don't know, whatever. Eat more cookies is what I say. Hey, we're just on Zoom. No one's seeing. I could be wearing yoga pants. You don't even know, Betsy. I'm not, but I could be. whatever.
You only see what's on top.
Right. My big thing is, like, don't lose, don't gain. Just maintain. Like, if you maintain your weight during COVID, like, A+ is all I have to say with that. And if you need to gain, feel free. You can always work it off later when gyms are actively open again. I think this has been a great conversation. I hope you've gotten some good ideas.
Definitely. Definitely some great ideas. And yeah. I love, like, the reason why Greg's furlough days work is because he has bucketized them.
Yep.
That's something I'm really working on. It's like, okay, every Monday I do X. Mm-hmm. And every, you know, just like you had your errand days and your this days and your that day. And I'm working on that for my husband too, because he has an expanse of time.
Yeah.
Too much time to figure out, you know, what he can do in all
that. And you get the bins and start binning up his memories. He'll enjoy going through them as he's putting them in the bins.
He started, not to have a caveat on everything that you say, but now this room is a mess.
Right. It gets worse. And I think that it is going to be hard for you to have your own space. And it may be hard to do the actual days in the 100-day program, especially if you have extra people in your house or you feel like your house is smaller than you want it to be. So maybe it's a good time to dive into those crafts, you know, break out the sewing machine, fix everything that's broken, and really look at your time as your rest time. What is, when everybody's going to be in their bedrooms, on their beds, taking their rest hour, what are you going to do for your rest hour? And you get to pick new every day. Like, you don't have to say for the month of November, I'm doing this. Like, every day, okay, it's rest time. What's the one thing I'm going to do today? Maybe you're going to sleep. Maybe you're going to read a book. Maybe you're going to work on scrapbooks. Maybe you're going to organize your sheet music. Like, what's one little project? You get 1 hour. I would put yourself on your bed. I like to work on my bed personally. Drag it all up there. Sit on your bed at the end of the hour. Put it away. And you can make some new traditions. I know your son is 3. So when my kids were little, because I love being in my room. Do you guys have a TV in your room, your bedroom?
There's a little living room attached and we have.
Okay, perfect. So when my kids were little and we started this around Halloween time, which you're going to hear this way after, but I love the Peanuts movies. And so I own them all. Peanuts? No. Yeah, Peanuts, Charlie Brown. So you watch the Charlie Brown Halloween special. And I also own the Thanksgiving one and I own the Christmas one and I own the Valentine's Day one. And for Christmas, I have all of the like 1960s ones, you know, like there are a whole bunch like Rudolph and none of these are politically correct anyway, anymore. FYI, I noticed that 20 years ago, but anyway, Frosty, all of them, I have all of them. And so every night my kids would come up and we would lay a sheet on the floor. And they would have popcorn. We'd put one of those in and they would start watching the TV show and then they went to bed. And for me, I love being in my room. So I would do scrapbooking on my bed or whatever. So I was doing more of whatever you do through your rest time. You can leave it there and have another hour of it at night while the kids are watching a special show with popcorn. Really easy to do. Add in some of those traditions. I mean, even your daughter who's 8 is going to like that as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have movie night every Friday. And sometimes I think of it as like, okay, now I'm going to organize my closet or something, you know.
Yes, because you're close enough. Yep.
Yeah. So things like that. But that's really good because I want to do my wedding photos 10 years
Yes.
later. So that's a perfect thing to do. Like that it's portable, I can bring it wherever. So
Yeah, and I think go through the 100 days, definitely keep doing your Sunday basket, but pull out something that is not 100 days, that is more a bigger project thing, like a 2.0 slash pocket in your Sunday basket, and be like, okay, this is the one that I'm currently working on. And then when that album is done, which may take you like 6 weeks, okay, great. And your husband has already put together all of his memorabilia, and that's now in the basement. Okay, great. Now we're going to go through all of these craft supplies, and it's going to be craft month, and we're going to make a project every day because we're going to use up some of this stuff and really get down to what we want to do. Kids will love that too. Highly suggest doing that in February, which is the shortest month, but the longest month, if you know what I mean.
I do.
February is the longest month. So I highly suggest. That's why we always talk about crafts in February. It's like, I can't leave my house. I don't want to leave my house. It's freezing out there. Will this month ever end? It's the darkest month. It's just, oh, it's so hard. February is so hard.
This was awesome, Lisa.
Yeah, I think
Thank you
this was
so
really,
much.
really good. I hope that people got some different ideas about how we're going to survive this pandemic winter. If you guys have any other ideas, email me, Lisa at organize365.com. See if maybe we'll turn those into a podcast recording as well. Thanks, Betsy.
Thank you, Lisa.
Are you loving these new podcasts? Oh my gosh, I could talk to you guys forever. And I love talking to you actually in person. If you have a story and you would love to share it on the podcast, just go to organize365.com/Wednesday to apply.